Tech News Briefing is supported by FTI Consulting. From the world's largest cyber breaches to global fraud investigations, FTI Consulting is the number one expert-based firm organizations turn to in their moments of truth. Learn more at FTIconsulting.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, June 15th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. It can be hard to make friends, especially when one is the big kid on the block and the other is the cool upstart. But somehow, Microsoft and OpenAI are making it work. Our reporter Tom Dutton is going to join us to explain this unconventional partnership and where some conflicts have arisen. Plus, all the elements needed to support life on Earth have been found somewhere else. We'll tell you where and how they were detected. But first, debates about the oversight of cryptocurrency trading have reached a new peak. Last week, the Securities and Exchange Commission sued Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, alleging the company operated an illegal trading platform in the U.S. and misused customer funds. A day later, the regulator filed a suit against Coinbase, claiming the company had violated rules requiring it to register as an exchange. Our sister podcast, The Journal, sat down with SEC Chair Gary Gensler to talk about the recent crackdown he's leading against cryptocurrency exchanges.
I've seen some non-compliance from time to time in traditional finance, but I've never seen a whole field so built upon non-compliance with law. And frankly speaking, that's what a lot of the business model is.
Gensler discusses Binance, Coinbase, his message to investors right now, and much more. To listen to that full interview, head to the Journal podcast, or you can find a link to the episode in our show notes. Now, for life to exist, there needs to be a very specific set of conditions. And all of them have recently been detected in an ocean on one of Saturn's moons. With me to discuss this finding is our reporter Eilyn Woodward, who covers the space industry. Eilyn, let's just get some quick background. What are the elements needed for life to exist?
Here, we're really focusing on six essential elements that are sort of considered building blocks needed for life to form, at least as we know it on Earth. And so those six elements, they include sulfur, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and phosphorus.
Now, these were all found on one of Saturn's moons. And for those who don't recall, Saturn has more than 100 moons. Can you tell us a little bit about the place that it was discovered?
Sure. So the new research has to do with Enceladus, which is named after a giant in Greek mythology. And Enceladus is actually much smaller than Earth's moon. It's just a scant 313 miles across. They say typically about the width of Arizona, which is kind of mind-blowing. And Enceladus is one of these icy ocean worlds that has a subsurface global ocean sort of hiding under an icy shell, an icy crust. And the really neat thing about Enceladus is that at its south pole, in these regions where the ice is thinnest, it shoots out plumes of that ocean into space at supersonic speeds. And some of these plumes reach hundreds of miles into space. And that enables scientists to sort of study the chemical makeup of those oceans without having to burrow under the ice with any instruments.
What does this discovery then tell us about maybe finding signs of life elsewhere?
Basically, the researchers, they were able to do sort of follow-up experiments using the data that they had to simulate conditions in Enceladus's ocean. That ocean, it's slightly colder, slightly less salty, much deeper than Earth's oceans. They suggest that sort of the conditions present on Enceladus's ocean are applicable to the waters of other ocean moons in our solar system. So like Saturn's moon Titan has one of those oceans, or Neptune's moon Triton.
So what do scientists do next? What's their next step now that they have this information?
Well, you always want to collect more data. But the problem is that we don't have another mission headed to that planetary neighborhood for a couple of decades at least. NASA's James Webb Space Telescope actually might be able to help in this regard. One of the scientists involved in the new study said that they were going to point the telescope towards Enceladus next year. They had already done so a little bit.
Big picture, what does it mean to find all of the elements that could support Earth life somewhere else?
Essentially, the finding underscores how ocean worlds like Enceladus are sort of among the best places to search for life in our planetary neighborhood. And it's important to remember that just because these sort of six essential elements have been found in one place, it doesn't necessarily mean that there is life on Enceladus.
All right, that's our reporter, Island Woodward. Okay, coming up, the unconventional relationship between Microsoft and OpenAI. Well, sometimes it causes conflict. We'll explain how and what it means for the partnership after the break.
Tech News Briefing is supported by FTI Consulting. From the world's largest cyber breaches to global fraud investigations, FTI Consulting is the number one expert-based firm organizations turn to in their moments of truth. Learn more at FTIconsulting.com.
Microsoft and OpenAI are one of the hottest power couples in tech right now. For those who don't remember, Microsoft invested in OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, and OpenAI helped Microsoft power its AI search engine and other programs. But people familiar with the matter say the relationship has its conflicts behind the scenes. WSJ reporters Tom Dutton and Deepa Seetharaman wrote about this, and Tom joins me now. Tom, can you tell us a bit more about this partnership?
Sure. OpenAI is this company that was launched in 2015 that has been focused on building safe artificial intelligence. And Microsoft in 2019 first put in $1 billion and has since put in billions and billions more to help this company develop its artificial intelligence technology, including generative AI, which is this technology that we know through ChatGPT, in which you can take human prompts and spit out generative answers, things like text or images and things like that. And Microsoft has taken this tech and incorporated it into a ton of its products. So we've seen Bing, they're now incorporating it into software that will sit across all of its Office software, like Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, things like that. And you've seen Microsoft basically take the technology that was developed by OpenAI and reorient the entire company around this tech to enliven all of its software products. And in the midst of using its technology, there's also been this interesting relationship between these companies.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, because every relationship, friendship, partnership always has some struggles. So from the Microsoft perspective, what are those?
Well, I want to say at the outset here that by and large, these guys at this current moment are getting along pretty well. It has benefited both the companies. OpenAI has gotten billions of dollars. Microsoft has gotten early access to this, what is being hailed as transformative technology. At the same time, Microsoft doesn't own the company. It owns only 49% of it. And that's a bit complicated. You don't see things like that happening too often in the business world. Typically, when a big company wants to utilize this transformative, groundbreaking technology, you would just absorb the company. You would just acquire it. But for kind of complicated reasons, partly the fact that Microsoft, if it were to acquire this company, could trigger some regulatory scrutiny. Also, OpenAI doesn't really want to sell itself. It doesn't own the company, which means it can't control all the products that it's working on. It can't control all of the initiatives that they're involved with. And so in one sense, it's a huge part of Microsoft's business, but it also can't really tell OpenAI what to do.
Tom, you've been speaking with people familiar with the matter. Can you give us an example of where this tension between the two companies has come to the forefront?
When Microsoft began incorporating and building the tools to incorporate the generative AI GPT technology into Bing and basically revamping Bing, there were some warnings from the OpenAI folks that were saying, look, you guys are using this underlying technology called GPT-4. It hasn't been fully trained yet in terms of dealing with all the different kinds of responses that this generative AI tech needs to function a lot more reliably. And they brought up to them the possibility that this tech could give you some weird answers until it's more fully trained. Ultimately, Microsoft heard their warnings and said, yeah, but we feel good enough about where this is right now. And, you know, an argument could be made that OpenAI was right about a lot of things. I mean, if you followed the coverage, a couple of days after Bing launched its new chat tool, some reporters and users were able to get it to say some pretty bizarre stuff. And these are the kind of responses that the OpenAI people were saying were possible until the technology was more fully trained.
Microsoft has its own AI team. What has this partnership meant for them?
Once the OpenAI investment started growing and growing, Microsoft needed to redirect more of its resources to making sure that OpenAI's tech was given priority, because it is the priority right now. And so if you were someone within Microsoft's research division and you were working on artificial intelligence, you're basically playing, if not second fiddle to OpenAI, then at least sort of subservient to the products that they're working on. And so there's been a not small number of grumbles from people inside Microsoft's research team saying, like, we don't have the resources that we used to get now because a substantial portion of that has been redirected toward OpenAI.
One of the challenges to me seems to be that both Microsoft and OpenAI have similar products that they're selling to customers. I mean, is there a lot of overlap between what these two partners are trying to make money off of?
Totally. I mean, Microsoft, in addition to being this infrastructure layer within the internet, they have Azure, which is a cloud service provider, which OpenAI runs on top of. They make software. And OpenAI is a creator of technology that it sells to companies that compete with Microsoft that sell the same software. So in the story, we have this example of Salesforce, which is this big customer relations management software maker. And their software is one of their new features is powered by OpenAI. But Microsoft also sells this kind of software, and it has a feature very similar to what Salesforce has put out there that is also powered by OpenAI.
So what happens next for these two partners?
You could imagine a scenario in the next couple of years where OpenAI software is the preeminent and predominant AI foundational layer for a lot of companies out there, and it's continuing to empower more and more of Microsoft's competitors, or Microsoft decides to build its technology in-house. I want to be clear, we're not saying that that's the case right now, but this is an unusual partnership, and typically unusual partnerships end up being very complicated as time goes on.
That was our reporter, Tom Dutton. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.